Welcome to the Dental Business Guide podcast. From money to marketing to management, this podcast will help you run a better dental business.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron Mera here today on the Samara Dental Business Guide podcast. And today I've got Nigel out there talking to us. How are you doing, Nigel?
Yeah, I'm fine, Aaron. Thanks.
Good, good, good. So Nigel is the head of commercial finance here at Samara. And he has a wealth of experience. That means he's not old, really, honest. But he's got a wealth of experience on finance. And he can help you set up a clinic, buy a clinic, all those types of things in terms of raising the funds. But today in particular, we're going to talk about squat finance. So, Nige, what's going on in the market?
Well, the market pre-COVID was pretty good for squat practices in that we were able to secure finance over 15 years for people for both equipment and for refurbishment,
okay,
which was quite a nice deal for people, putting in about 30% deposit themselves. And as long as their calculations were reasonable and the projections were sensible and well thought through with good explanations, then lenders were quite willing to lend. The issue has obviously been COVID, which closed practices for a short period, obviously, in the first lockdown. And then, obviously, the banks got a little bit nervous. And so some of those banks have withdrawn from the market, which makes it a lot harder now to finance these. And it means that you've got to look more carefully at your costings and make sure that you keep your costs as low as possible.
Okay. So these banks have got nervous. Are we right in saying that when we ever have a problem out there in historic recessions, that type of thing, banks always kind of close up shop, worry for a bit, and then eventually come back to market? Is that going to repeat here, you think?
I think perhaps there's a little bit of that on this one. I think the other issue for the banks this time around has been several things that have made a perfect storm, in effect. They've been reducing staff over the last, I left the RBS 5 years ago,
okay,
now, and they were reducing staff before that. So probably over 10 years, they've been reducing staff numbers. They haven't got the number of staff they had previously. With COVID, obviously, it brought in the things like C-bills and bounce back loans, which were a great invention by the government, but caused a huge amount of work for banks. There was a lot of work involved in them, and a lot of staff were pulled off to do those.
Yeah.
So, you know, therefore, a lot of people who would normally deal with day-to-day funding have had to go and do jobs elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that. And I think also, the two or three banks that did this sort of funding were very badly hit by those circumstances because they've got large numbers of business customers. Okay. And so they basically, I suppose it's a bit like an illness that shuts down one part of your body to deal with the other. So that's exactly what the banks have done. They've shut down part of their function to deal with the issues that have been caused by the COVID-19. We're very hopeful that they will start to reopen again. But with all these things, people keep saying to me, what date will they reopen? And it's how long is a piece of string, isn't it?
When
COVID is carrying on, vaccinations are happening. Hopefully, when we come out of lockdown, the banks will start to open up again and life will become a little bit easier for people looking to borrow money.
Okay, no, fair point. But I suppose what we've also seen in the dental market in the last 12 months is a huge demand amongst dentists who may have been affected by COVID in their existing practices as associates. And they're thinking, you know what, I've had enough of this. I want to go out and have my own practice. So there's such demand by dentists out there wanting their own practices, okay, whether it's buying or setting up, okay. What do you say to those people who want to set up but the banks aren't willing to lend? How are we going to get around that kind of conundrum?
Well, there's various ways around it. I mean, there are lenders in the market, and they're probably not as good as the lenders that were in the market previously. And we're talking there about perhaps the length of loan period, and perhaps the interest rate. And what we perhaps have to look at is funding some of the equipment instead of through a bank, through an asset finance company.
Yeah.
Now, the strange thing there is that the rate the asset finance company will give you is probably less than the bank would have given you because of the risky nature of the business at the outset. But unfortunately, the term is shorter. So whilst you get a lower rate, you get a much shorter term, And so obviously that pushes your repayments up. So it can be done. The repayments are higher, and therefore it's more important to look at the, you know, the costings more carefully when you're doing that sort of practice stuff.
Okay, so in terms of, so I spoke to someone yesterday, okay, and they want to do a startup, and they've got some savings, okay, kind of quite green and excited, but not really fully aware what they need to do and how they need to do it in terms of the, especially on the finance side. So I know banks have a particular way they want to see things, okay, and dentists have another way, and the dentists invariably have a big list of equipment and kit and caboodle they want to buy, whereas the banks say, well, you don't need half of these things. So how do we marry that up? What do we do in this situation?
Well, in that sort of situation, you know, unfortunately, if you're trying to borrow the money from a bank, you have to play the game their way, in effect. And what they're looking at, and it's quite a sensible view, because obviously I did lots of these when I worked for a bank, when I ran a banking team. They will look at you only setting up one practice, one surgery in that practice. You might have room for 4, 5, 6 surgeries, but there's no point in setting them up with lots of expensive equipment to become what is basically an expensive storeroom. Because in the first few months, and possibly the first year or two, you wouldn't be using more than one surgery as you build up your patient numbers. So they will look at that quite carefully. They will also look at what you're putting into the practice. You know, at the end of the day, your costings have got to be sensible. You have to provide a nice environment for people to come to the dentist. You have to provide a nice environment to work in. You've got to be careful that you don't spend ridiculous sums of money on items that you don't really need, or you could cost for less, because they will look at this very, very carefully. We prepare a spreadsheet for squat practices, which is probably 8 or 9 pages, and it breaks down everything from the costs of the fit out, the equipment, the staffing, what income you're going to get, and then it does it, puts it into a profit and loss and cash flow form. And obviously it's the cash flow that the banks look very carefully at, because there's no point in setting these up if they're going to fail. Now, I suppose we're very proud at Samira that we've done probably 15, 20 of these now, and they're all still going, including the ones that unfortunately started in January, February last year, which was the worst time to start a squat practice, but they've survived because they were costed correctly and they were sensible projections.
Sure.
There are a lot of associates out there, you're quite right, that probably haven't been particularly well treated by some of their principals in some cases, and they didn't earn enough to get grants. Sorry, they earned too much to get grants.
Yeah.
And they were out of work for a period in the first lockdown. And perhaps they do feel now they'd like to be in charge. But I think it's very important to say that it is very worthwhile doing a squat, but it is hard work.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think one of the mistakes, because we've been setting squats up ourselves with Smita over a number of years, well, the last almost 20 years now, and she always sees me as a Scrooge type of person, okay? I'm the accountant, okay, and she's the dentist. She said, oh, we need this, we need that. I said, well, yeah, we of course we can have it, but does it really marry up with the business model? If it's going to be used once every 2 weeks, no, okay? So you've got to really be quite careful and, excuse me, tight with the money in the early days. If then you've got volume, you've got capacity coming through, patients coming through, right, yeah, we can invest in this extra piece of kit or this extra piece of equipment, okay? So you've got to kind of get that fine balance right. And it's not always that easy, okay? But I think you're spot on where you only kit out one surgery and you really are careful with that. Because the hardest thing I've learned in starting up squats is getting patients through the door. That's the hardest thing. Okay, getting new patients through the door. And in an increasing competitive marketplace, I think that's going to just get harder. Okay, people will have more choice. So you need to make sure that you get that payback on that equipment that you buy as soon as possible. But if you don't buy it in the first place, you don't need to get the payback. Remember that. So just be careful.
Yeah, I think you hit on a good point there, because whilst the initial costings are very, very important, your business plan and your idea of the location and the detail you can provide regarding the competition is all important, because you have got to get numbers through the door. So it's important to know whether your competition is actually competition to you in the private market, or is it NHS,
Yeah.
You need to know whether that, what's their accessibility like? Mm. Are they on the first floor? Can people get into their practice? You know, people with buggies, prams, wheelchairs. Is it accessible? Because a lot of the older practices obviously aren't. But the advantages now, there are huge advantages in that the planning laws changed recently. Mm. And therefore, it's easier to find premises, much easier to find a premises. And you don't have to mess around talking to the council for a couple of months to get change of use.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to that, and perhaps it's an advantage, but a sad one, there are a lot more retail units available because of the changes in the high street. The changes have been coming for many years, and COVID-19 has just accelerated that change.
Totally.
And premises are available. So it is possible to get a good premises, a good high street with parking nearby, and possibly, you know, you start looking at things then that will save you money, talking to the landlord and getting a rent-free period.
Sure.
Get 6 months, that enables you to build the place and actually get start work. It's about looking at your fixed costs and making sure at the beginning your fixed costs are as low as possible.
Correct. Okay. No, really useful. So I think in summary, we're seeing that the banks are being cautious, okay, in lending to squats. They're still very active for buying practices, correct?
Yeah, correct. That's quite correct.
But on the squat side of things, they're being cautious, but we're hopeful at some point that they're going to come back to the market. However, there's as ever here at Samara, we always find a way. Okay, so if you're still wanting to do a squat, there are other avenues to pursue, not just the main general banks on the high street. And Nigel, Dan, and the team, we're very privileged to have them on our team. That they have the right contacts and the know-how to find other sources of finance that potentially can help you. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, it's very true. I think it's not just about me. I mean, I've had 40 years experience in the bank, but between the team, there's 150 years.
Yeah.
That's the five different people we have. And, you know, they've all got experience of startups and squat practices because they work for the banks that did those.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that gives us a good insight, really, because you are effectively the questioner of the person putting the business plan together, because you've been on that side of the other. On the coin, you've been in the bank who used to ask those types of questions. So you know what the bank's going to say or what to expect the bank's to say. So I think we're quite lucky like that. So yeah, good. Very, very interesting, Nigel. Very useful. I think if anyone's seeking finance in this current environment to start up a practice, Nigel, Dan and the team are all available to help. And if you've got any last comments, Nigel, Tad?
No, just that if people are interested in starting, then obviously they do need some cash.
Yep.
It is important to make sure you've got a reasonable amount of cash. You will have to work elsewhere. Bear that in mind. It will be hard. You'll have to work extra days perhaps elsewhere. But if you've got an idea of a location and something you want to do, then please give Dan or I a call and we'll talk it through with you initially. And then you can move on to actually taking up, perhaps looking at a building in some detail, getting some costings. And at that stage, really, you haven't expended a lot of funds on outside suppliers. And you can get projections. And those projections, really, I always say to people, until you have the projections in front of you, you haven't got any realism. Because that's the bit where people realise what it's going to cost and they start looking at things more carefully.
Yeah, totally. Brilliant. All right. Thanks, Nigel, for the podcast today. Look forward to speaking to you on the next one.
Thanks, Aaron. Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks for listening in to the Dental Business Guide podcast. We welcome your feedback. And if you're enjoying it, please let your friends know too. Until the next time on the Dental Business Guide podcast.